KOIN in Portland. See you tomorrow night following Blazer basketball, 11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. President Ford continues to campaign for the Republicans, delivering a speech Thursday night in Los Angeles. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president has started a three-day campaign swing through six states. Earlier Thursday, he was in Iowa campaigning and later went to Los Angeles. Speaking at a GOP fundraising affair, the president again took the Democrats to task for inflation.
The Democratic Party has controlled the United States Congress for 38 out of the last 42 years, and for the last 20 years consecutively. During this period of time, federal spending has shot up from roughly $4.5 billion on an annual basis in 1934 to $300+ billion in the current fiscal year.
President Ford in Los Angeles Thursday night. More news in a moment.
Norm, I'll give you $10 if you make a move right now.
See, if I move here, then you'll move there. You'll connect four in a row and you'll beat me.
Norman!
If I move, what?
See, 18 days is too long between moves, Norm. That's how long I've been
here. I could move here. No, I couldn't. You'll block me. I'm sorry.
Connect four is only a game, Norm.
On the other hand, if I move here, then you'll have to move. No, you won't. No, you won't.
I know my lovely wife is probably wondering what happened.
Boy, this connect four is more than a vertical checkers game.
My boss is going to be mad.
It's vertical and horizontal and diagonal strategy.
I think I was supposed to be in Pittsburgh last Tuesday.
It's a challenge. That's what I like, the challenge.
I really do miss my wife, Shirley, though.
Yeah. Isn't it Sheila?
Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like two minds locked in battle.
Not for 18 days, Norman. Make a move.
But you've snuck up on me. I can't move anywhere. I give up.
I win Connect Four?
You win Connect Four. Harry.
I win. Thank goodness. I win.
Harry.
Yeah?
It's two out of three. Remember, that's where the... Oh.
Connect Four, the new strategy game of vertical checkers from Milton Bradley.
Richard Nixon has received several blood transfusions as the former president continues to battle for life. A report from Harold Dow at Long Beach Memorial Hospital in California.
The blood being fed into the former president's veins is being provided by the Long Beach Memorial Hospital and the American Red Cross. It comes from a variety of donors. The doctors say these transfusions will be sufficient to overcome the critical blood loss Mr. Nixon has sustained in the past 48 hours. The doctor at the former president's bedside tonight is James Harper. He is one of those who attended the former president 2 days ago when he was so very near death. A short while ago, Mrs. Nixon and the two daughters, Julie and Tricia, left the hospital. They'll spend the night close by at a private residence of family friends. Another sign that Mr. Nixon's condition is stable at this hour, Dr. John Lundgren, his personal physician, has also left Long Beach Memorial. Now, the latest reports say that Mr. Nixon is resting. All vital signs are stable. But still, he's on the critical list. Harold Dow, CBS News, Long Beach.
The White House has indicated that President Ford Friday morning may visit Mr. Nixon in the hospital. The White House has announced that First Lady Betty Ford will be taking drugs to combat any cancer cells that may remain in her body following breast surgery 5 weeks ago. Doctors stress they have not found any new cancer in Mrs. Ford, but they said she will undergo chemotherapy as a precaution. Apparently, consumers are not following President Ford's suggestion that they can help reduce inflation by spending less. New figures show big sales increases by many of the nation's leading retail stores. Some reporting sales gains up to 21% higher than a year ago. The Ford administration indicated Thursday it may move to clamp down on high profits for food processors and retail grocers. Treasury Secretary Simon noted falling prices that farmers are getting, while retail food prices to consumers keep on going up. Simon said the government cannot permit one segment of the economy to reap unjust enrichment at the expense of everyone else. And Albert Rees, who is one of President Ford's economic advisors, says that grocery profits may have gone up too much. Now this.
Which would you rather forego? The low prices only a chain store can offer, or the friendly service of an independent dealer? Why settle for one or the other? Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that you get the benefits of both at True Value Hardware Stores. You see, True Value Hardware Stores are independently owned by a local man, usually a neighbor of yours. He's the kind of friendly guy you get to know by his first name, the kind of handy guy you look to for do-it-yourself advice, and he has his own money invested in the business. So, believe me, you'll never write the chairman of some board to get satisfaction. At the same time, each independent True Value dealer is a part of a chain of over 4,700 hardware stores whose combined buying power amounts to $1 billion. So True Value hardware stores buy their merchandise for less, can sell it to you for less. Chain store prices, independent dealer service. Get the best of both worlds at True Value hardware stores.
George Foreman Thursday told reporters in Zaire he believes he beat the clock when he lost his world heavyweight boxing crown to Muhammad Ali on Wednesday. Foreman failed to get up at the count of 10 after being knocked down by Ali in the eighth round of their fight, and Foreman now says he thinks he did get up in time. Ali is saying that he's thinking of an offer of $10 million to defend his newly won title. Ali says the offer is coming from London promoter John Daly. Doug Poling, CBS News.
President Gerald Ford arrives here in Portland tomorrow afternoon for an overnight GOP fundraising trip. He'll attend a White House conference, meet with Ornegan cattlemen, great Republicans at two receptions, and attend a benefit auction. A source close to Treasury Secretary William Simon says President Ford will announce a waiver of the Jones Act during his Portland visit tomorrow. The Jones Act bars the use of foreign ships for carrying goods between U.S. ports. Waiver of that law would allow shipment of needed fertilizer supplies from Alaska to Oregon and Washington. Oregon cattlemen will urge President Ford tomorrow to either reimpose beef quotas or place an embargo on incoming beef. That suggestion is one of eight that officials of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association say they'll propose at a meeting with Ford. Convicted killer Carl Cletus Bowles in good condition tonight following abdominal surgery today in Boise, Idaho. Authorities say the operation was for complications following a gunshot wound Bowles suffered during his recapture last June. He escaped from the Oregon State Penitentiary during a social leave. Multnomah County authorities say prostitution is flourishing under the guise of massage parlors. The rush to the county came after surrounding counties in the cities of Portland and Vancouver, Washington, passed prohibited touching laws. The Salem Capital Journal endorsed Democrat Bob Straub for governor today over his Republican opponent, State Senator Victor Attia. In an editorial, the newspaper praised Attia's performance in the Oregon legislature, but said the state needs a governor with imagination and leadership. The Oregon Department of Education has begun an effort to find ways of using the talents of unemployed teachers in higher education. School Superintendent Jesse Fessel told his staff to find out if jobless teachers can work part-time at private and public colleges and universities. For the past 4 years, there have been more trained teachers in Oregon than jobs available. 97 Sports, Portland Storm, in a nationally televised game, beat the Shreveport Steamer tonight, 14-0. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver. Decreasing chance of showers through tonight and tomorrow morning, then partial clearing tomorrow afternoon. Lows between 40 and 45. The high tomorrow in the upper 50s, and the chance of rainfall down to 10% by tomorrow Friday. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 49 degrees. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the universe of the uncanny. We live on such a tiny surface of space and time and try so hard to shut out the mass that lies beyond. But when the whispers die out and the echoes cease, a force still fills the void that remains. Evil spirits, malignant and destructive, waiting in limbo to be summoned by the foolhardy. In our tale, a young and talented student of the Talmud turns to a secret body of occult doctrine, the Kabbalah, to conquer death itself.
Simon, why do you punish yourself so?
To reach an exalted state. I wish to attain the possession of a clear and sparkling diamond and melt it down in tears, then inhale its essence into my soul. I want to attain the rays of the third planet of beauty. I want to... I want to... I want to... barrels of golden pieces for him who can only count in gold.
Please, Simon. My father is not greedy. He only wants a bright future for me.
And your bright future is paved with gold.
Be careful, my son. You are on a slippery road. No holy powers will help you achieve what you want.
If the holy powers will not, then I must...
Don't say it, Simon. You terrify me.
Then I must find my way along another path.
Our mystery drama, The Demon Spirit, was especially adapted from the classic S. Anski play, The Dybbuk, for the Mystery Theater by Milt Wisoff, and stars Norman Rose and Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you buy a mid-sized car, you expect certain things from it, mainly a reasonable combination of comfort and economy. Well, friend, Buick has a midsize to meet your expectations. The 1975 Century Regal. It's a joy to look at, a joy to ride in, and Buick's new V6 engine makes it a joy to drive, especially past gas stations.
Buick Century Regal, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Boy, do I have a headache. Why do they have to make these caps so hard to open?
For a very good reason. Children open things that they shouldn't. That's why we have safety packaging. For the life of your child, you can live with a little inconvenience. For further information, write the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, Washington, D.C., 20207.
Peter Ustinov speaks for UNICEF.
The nations of this world spend as much on the children of this world as they do on armaments in 2 hours. And did you know that the problems of these children would be well on the way to being settled at the cost of 1 day of war, 1 day of local war, 1 day of clean, modern war? And did you know that UNICEF manages to reach 100 million children, which means, unfortunately, that it fails to reach 900 million? This, of course, should be the job of governments, but at the moment it's the job of individuals as much as governments. And if you are as troubled by these facts as I, then you will give as generously as you possibly can to UNICEF, the world organization, to help children, to help tomorrow, to help us.
Black magic is rooted in the darkest corners of our mind and emerges only when we feel the insatiable need for power, money, love, any desire that becomes obsessive when withheld. It has always been so. Man has invoked the aid of spirits since he first evolved. What could be more natural for primitive man than the urge to call upon the supernatural when confronted with the sinister demons of wind, fire, and water? Civilization has only spread a thin veneer over this ancient instinct, a veneer that vanishes completely in our tale concerning a young theological student, pure spirit, who invokes terrible forces in his quest for love.
It's Simon, Rabbi. I've returned. May I come in?
Simon, Simon! Oh, come in, my son. Come in. So, you've finally come back. You look so pale and drawn.
I've had a long, hard trip.
Why did you stay away so long? It's been almost a year. We missed you.
Yes, you mean you missed me.
That's not true. Many regard you highly.
But not enough to consider me as a prospective son-in-law.
But Leia thinks well of you.
Not enough to oppose her father's wishes.
There are traditions, Simon. A daughter must obey her father.
Well, it's time we change them.
Look, Simon. Sender is no monster. He merely wants what he thinks is best for his daughter. Come, Simon. Let's talk about you.
There's not much to say.
You're a fool. A bright, intelligent, scholarly fool. Your brilliance was the talk of the community. And then you disappeared. Where did you vanish to?
At first, I just wandered aimlessly. And then, one day, I heard about this small village where a great scholar and wonder worker lives. A man so steeped in the ritual and lore that he can make miracles.
Mm-hmm. And did you find him?
Yes, Reb Meyer. I found him after months of wandering.
Is he truly a worker of miracles?
Even more wondrous than I had heard.
Ah. Is your wonder worker a student of the Kabbalah?
A master of it. He taught me that man can develop the divine spark within him until he masters the entire universe and all its forces.
You're meddling with something beyond you, Simon. It shows in your fevered eyes, your gauntness. Don't dwell too deeply on these mysteries.
Why not? The Kabbalah tears your soul away from the limits of the earth and lifts you to paradise.
I remember, only four wise men succeeded. Only one went in and came out again unscathed. One died, one went mad, and one lost his faith.
I'm not frightened. They may have failed because they entered paradise for the wrong reason. I want to offer myself as a sacrifice, like the great one who succeeded.
But how can you compare yourself?
I make none. I will follow my own road.
Good night. Yeah.
Oh, come in. Come in, my child. Ah, how nice to see you.
I'm not disturbing you, am I?
Not at all. You remember Simon?
Oh, well, of course I do. You've been away, Simon.
Then you noticed.
We missed you, even though you left without a word.
There was nothing more to say.
Reb Meyer, you promised to show me the embroidered curtains of the Ark.
And so I shall.
Aren't you afraid to be in the temple so late at night?
No, not afraid. Sad and touched. The walls look as if they've been wept over. I wish I could put my arms around this ancient, tear-stained wall and never leave.
Tears are everywhere, Leia, not just here.
And happiness, too. How does our Simon seem to you after his long absence?
Pale. Have you been ill?
Yes, but not of the body.
But why do you punish yourself so?
To reach an exalted state. I wish to attain the possession of a clear and sparkling diamond and melt it in my tears. Then inhale its essence into my soul. I want to attain the rays of the third planet of beauty. I want some golden pieces for him who can only count in gold.
Please, Simon. My father's not a greedy man. He only wants a bright future
and
for me.
And your bright future is paved with gold.
Be careful, my son. You're on a slippery road. No holy powers will help you achieve what you want.
And if the holy powers will not, then I must...
Don't say it, Simon. You terrify me.
And I must find my way along another path.
Reb Meyer. Ah, good day to you, Sender. What brings you to the marketplace? Don't you trust your servants?
I was looking for you. I'm bursting with good news.
Yes, I know.
How could you? I've just...
In a closed community, nothing stays secret very long. Congratulations. Who is this paragon you've betrothed your daughter to?
A fine young man. Completely worthy of becoming part of my family.
I was curious. Tell me, why did you stand in the way of Simon?
Simon, but he's only a poor student. How would he fit...
With the rich house of Sender? He loves Leia, and I'm sure that she loves him.
She will love her bridegroom as well, I assure you.
How can you guarantee what you cannot control? A heart is not a machine.
I know my daughter. Reb Meyer, I would like to talk to you about the arrangements for the wedding.
No, not here, Sender. Here one buys food and drink, not a life. Come to the temple, and we will talk. Simon, I have some food for you. And some news.
Reb Meyer, I'm not hungry.
I'm afraid the news I have for you will
not... It's not news to me. I was there with you at the market. But... I was there in spirit. I heard everything.
Let her in, Simon, before she tears the walls down.
Help me with your prayers. Intercede for my daughter, the forlorn widow who has a death's door. Please, I beseech you, help me.
We will pray and hope for the best.
No, I need more than hope.
you shall have it.
No, please, don't interfere, Simon.
I must. Now, take this diagram I've drawn, mark it out around your daughter's bed, the circle completely around, and the six-pointed star with a point toward her head. Slaughter a young fowl and touch her forehead with its freshly drawn blood.
Stop that. I forbid this.
What am I to do?
He offers hope. I give you your daughter's life.
Give me the diagram, Simon. I will follow you, and God bless you.
Simon, I asked you not to interfere. You have gone too far.
Far enough. I still have a long way to go. But I am drawing nearer all the time. Watch, Remire. This is the Lord of the Gods. Lord of the universe, he whom the winds fear, thee I invoke, the bornless one, thee that didst create the earth and the heavens, the night and the day. Thou art the truth and matter. Enter the magic circle, power the hazel wand, shroud me with a cloak of darkness.
Simon! Simon! Come back before it is too late.
He has covered me with a raven's wings. He has whispered the unnameable to me. I am master of many arts and skills.
The black arts.
No, Remire. When the curtain parts, all is visible, black and white alike.
Oh, Simon, it is time to sleep now. I am tired. You must go now.
I'm no longer welcome here.
You are to me, my son, but not to this temple. Go now.
I'm here, Reb Meyer, to discuss the arrangement.
Sender, you are certain that you want to go through with the marriage?
As certain as I have been of anything in my life.
Sender! Sender, I have something to show you.
Hmm?
Look at this object in my hand.
Why? It's a golden amulet.
Don't you recognize it?
It looks like the one I presented to you on your birthday. But it cannot be.
Why not?
Because that was not gold, Reb Meyer.
But it is the same amulet, Sender. Sender, I have worked a miracle. Something many men have tried to do all of their lives. I have turned base metal into gold.
I don't believe it.
But it's true. Give me any object and I will convert it to gold for you. Think of it. I can make you rich beyond your wildest dreams.
I couldn't allow you.
Please, Sender, take my offer. Please. All I want is Leia's hand in return.
Impossible. I have given my word.
Weigh your word against gold,
no,
Sender.
I must weigh it against my daughter's happiness. And that is my concern above all. Thank you, Simon. I bear you no ill feelings, but my daughter will be married as soon as Reb Meyer can make the arrangements.
How can that be, Reb Meyer? I've done everything. The fasting. I've worked with the word, the spells, the symbols, all in vain.
What will be, Simon. Stay with me now.
But what remains for me? What is there I can still do? Black Rider, fling back your hood. Demon and master, show me the way. I see. Thank you, the secret is revealed. I see you now. I see him, and I see...
Oh, Simon. Simon, what is it?
I have won. Remire, I have won. The bride is mine.
Said there are four indispensable conditions to knowledge and power in the black arts. An intelligence illuminated by study, an intrepidity which nothing can check, a will which nothing can break, and a steadfastness nothing can corrupt. Simon, it seems, was master of all. Will he then prevail even after death? We shall know more when I return shortly with Act Two.
Ever had a tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud,
Watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick. Just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. And you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, Bud drinkers have been experiencing Amplitude for years, but they never phrase it that way. They just say Budweiser, and that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You're 17. Well, that's plenty old. Old enough to know about things like grass and speed and acid and smack. We probably can't tell you anything about the stuff you haven't already heard, or maybe even found out for yourself. So we don't intend to give you any advice. You wouldn't listen. But the trouble is, neither will your kid brother. He doesn't know half of what you know. He doesn't know how dope can affect your body. He's never spent a violent night hugging a friend who was on a bad trip, or watch a guy nod off in class and fall to the floor. He's just a kid, and a real setup for anybody out there selling the stuff. We'd like to warn your little brother. Too bad he doesn't trust us. We can't get to him. But maybe you can.
An Advertising Council campaign.
Can we explain the strength of superstition? Shall we ascribe it to the primitive, the ignorant? Then how can we explain the fact that British witch covens celebrated All Hallows' Eve before tremendous crowds, with rites involving the magic circle, a magic knife, weird incantations, and all the other trappings of the occult? Many believe the origin and development of superstition are rooted in fact, that it exists and makes itself known to us. Perhaps we can shed some light on the subject.
Red Meyer, it's so hard for me to believe that he's gone.
He is, my child. He's buried there. Poor Simon. Everything he did with such intensity. He studied longer, prayed harder than any of my pupils.
And his love?
Was deeper than most. He died for it.
I had a dream that I was wandering in the meadow when a storm arose, and I hid in a small hut until the rain stopped. It was very early morning, and the vapors rose over the...
Now, direct from CBS News, this special Radio Net Alert news report.
I'm Reed Collins, CBS News in New York. Memorial Hospital in Long Beach, California has just issued another bulletin on the medical condition of former President Richard Nixon. The hospital spokesman, whose name is Norman Nager, read the bulletin, which had been written actually by the president's two main attending physicians.
The former president of the United States spent a more restful night. His vital signs are now stable. His blood pressure is 140 over 80. His pulse is 80 and regular. There has been a slight drop in his hemoglobin count of 0.5 gram since last night. The significance of this change is being evaluated this morning. It may represent normal hemodilution, for the written press, HEMO dilution. Or we are keeping in mind the possibility of a slow oozing of blood into the retroperitoneal space. Again, the peritoneum is the tissue, the sac surrounding the abdomen, or the lining of the abdomen, rather. Retro means behind. Yesterday, former President Nixon was given one additional unit of packed red blood cells. Away from the statement for a moment, we reported to you yesterday up to that point that he had received 3 units of blood. Since then, yesterday, he was given 1 additional unit of packed red blood cells. His family is here from early morning until late evening. And Mrs. Nixon visits with her husband, and Julie and Tricia visit with their dad briefly at hourly intervals. His spirits, his mental attitude are excellent. He is alert. He is oriented to everything going on around him, and he is cooperative. Although he has remained stable, he has not been taken off the critical list yet. I repeat that. Although he has remained stable, he has not been taken off the critical list yet.
And that is in part the statement issued by the hospital in Long Beach, California, Memorial Hospital, a statement written by the doctors attending former President Richard Nixon, bringing the world up to date on his current status. As we see, he still is on the critical list. They still do not wish to sign a prognosis or a forecast of what eventually is going to happen. However, the President of the United States formally did spend a more restful night, and apparently things are looking up in Long Beach as far as the President's condition is concerned. This is Reed Collins, CBS News, New York.
This Net Alert report has come to you from CBS News. We now resume the regular program schedule on this CBS Radio Net Alert station.
This is the wedding party. Your bridegroom, Menasha, he's arrived at last.
But, Father,
not
I want
now,
to...
Not now, Leah. I must meet the wedding party.
Hello. Wait there. I'm coming.
Welcome, Menasha. How was the trip?
Oh, we had a hard and bitter journey. We lost the road and wandered about the fields for a long time.
Menasha, you're shivering. Are you cold?
Yes, I felt this chill since I approached your town. Penetrates the marrow of my bones and fills me with an uncertain and unknown dread.
What is it you fear?
I don't know.
Ah, come, let's have a drink on your safe arrival. It will warm you and...
Of money. I mean, if I've got it, great. But if I don't, I'll get by. So the trouble is, I never recognized the fever in others. I certainly didn't in Leisha anyway. The $15,000 was play money to me, the way I was fixed with my own personal little devil in the bottle. But I should have spotted Leisha as a lady who was hooked on gambling and the money that went with it. Here we were just beginning, and I didn't know it. But we were already on the way to the end.
You are crazy, you know.
But you, yes.
I'm not talking about that. You let me gamble away $15,000 and then take me on a 5-cent ferry ride.
Well, the last of the big spenders, they call me. Oh, baby, just look at that sun coming up over the skyline. Isn't that worth 15 lousy grand? I'm going to take off my tie and open up my shirt and enjoy the sun on my manly chest.
You could have gotten the sun just for a nickel.
Ah, but I might not have been able to persuade you to make the trip.
I swear to Jonah, you are something else. What's that chain you have around your neck?
Oh, it's kind of a lucky charm.
May I see?
Sure. Here.
What? Just a little old bottle like you get a prescription in.
Mm-hmm.
What's that black thing? Oh, Barry, I am sorry. I thought it was a spider, and I'm just scared to death of them. And before I knew it, I...
You chucked it overboard.
It was an accident.
Never mind. It's gone forever now.
Does it mean all that to you, Barry?
We're getting near the landing. Let me ask you a question right out here in the morning sunshine in front of God and everyone. Are you going to marry me?
It's like everything else tonight. Crazy. But, Barry, I just guess I'm going to have to. I mean... Barry.
What is it?
The bottle. The chain. And that thing. It's right back around your neck again. How did you do that?
I didn't. I guess there is only one way to get rid of this.
There's something funny going on. Barry, you kind of scare me. Now, I don't know.
Wait a minute. As soon as we land, come back up to the house with me.
Oh, no, sir. I've already spent the night with you. That's as far as we go this time around.
Oh, Leisha, it's not your lily white body I'm after. Not tonight, anyway. It's just a secret I want to share with you. A secret I guess I've got to share with you before we do get married.
Will you stop pulling my leg and take me home before I fall asleep?
No, I want to prove this to you, Leisha. All right. All right, you little bottle imp. In $1,000 bills, give back Miss Friedenhall the money she lost tonight. There. Look in your bag, Leisha.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, 14, 15. Are these genuine?
They are.
It's a trick.
Not mine. His. As much as I want, anytime, anywhere. Just as I told you.
No, I just can't believe
it. Oh, well, I know a way to really prove it to you, Miss Dice Sharper. Now, here's a pair of dice, okay? Roll them as long as you want till you're sure there's nothing kinky about them. Then tell me what number you want to throw and how many times. And the bottle imp will see that it happens.
Okay. You can't fool me on this. I know dice, and I know odds. Once I'm satisfied these dice are clean, I'm picking snake eyes. You bring me those up 10 times in succession, and I'll believe anything you tell me.
Why be pikers? Let's make it 20.
Double ace. 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all true.
That's right. Now do you marry me?
I wouldn't want you to think I was marrying you for your money.
Let me take the chance on that.
Beware, Barry. Games of chance are not your forte. And you don't know the odds. You're a good-hearted, happy-go-lucky guy who's gotten himself mixed up in something evil. A lot more than he can handle. And perhaps not all the evil is shut up inside the bottle. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But, Lou, don't you think we should be sure we can meet the payments?
She's right, Lou. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you could make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness? A loss of job?
Gee, thanks. Maybe I'd better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Sometimes a gentle rain in one place adds up to a raging torrent in another. Torrent that can uproot lives as well as trees. To remedy the things that can be remedied in a disaster, America has a unique emergency force, the American Red Cross, America's good neighbor. Red Cross is on call 24 hours a day, every day, to cope with emergencies, whether they're on the next block or a continent away. Most of the help that's given is from volunteers. The money's from volunteers, too. Volunteers like you. If you need help, join us. If you can give help, join us. The American Red Cross. Help us help people. Just like you.
Hey,
Jasper Sheridan's funeral was sumptuous and dignified. In as brief a period as seemed decent, Alicia and Barry were married and started on a worldwide honeymoon that lasted well over 2 years. If Barry regretted the fact that all of the places had gambling casinos, he was too much in love with his stunning bride to object. Then, at last, they were on their way back to America by boat on Leisha's insistence.
Well, I see you broke the bank again for the second night out.
Well, I'm not always so lucky, Mr. Stauffacher.
Oh, you know my name. I was going to introduce myself. I'm flattered, Mrs. Norton.
Of course you're not. No more than I am, but you know mine.
We are birds of a feather, eh, you and I?
We have more money than we know what to do with. We gamble. We are both members of the international set. The only difference is you own ships, and I own a rich husband.
But there is another difference.
Oh?
At least one. You are a woman. I am a man. I am surprised your husband doesn't make sure to keep you close to him. Particularly on shipboard moonlight nights.
Oh, Barry doesn't sail well. He usually sticks to his cabin unless it's clear as glass.
Then I shall hope for a rough crossing.
Am I to consider that a pass?
But most definitely.
I am a married woman, Mr. Stavrasik.
Marriage is a state of mind, Mrs. Norton. It is no longer the prison it once was. May I hope to see you in New York? Perhaps you would come to dinner at my house.
With my husband.
Or without. That can all be arranged later. Here. Here is my unlisted number, if you should ever need me. And of course, I am of your service for the rest of the voyage.
Barry.
I remember when you used to say that a little more fondly.
Your being crazy made some sense then.
Oh, and now it makes none?
To go out and take some 9-to-5 job in a dirty little store as a numismatist, whatever it is.
Numismatist, a collector or seller of old and rare coins. Funny, isn't it? It's the only real interest I've ever had in money.
Oh, well, you won't make much of it there.
Oh, I don't know. With the deal Charlie's offered me, I could do quite well. From 20 to 30,000 a year. It's quite a hot business these days.
You must be mad. Go work at the conglomerate if you have to work. You can pay yourself $500,000 a year. Anyway, what's money to us?
That's our problem, Leisha. Everything at the moment. I'm just waking up to how gambling has you hooked. And how you have me hooked into being a sort of gigolo. And the source of the hook is this damn thing. So the way to get off the hook is simple. I'm going to sell it.
Sell the bottle imp? But that means that everything would be gone.
Except what I make. We just have to learn to get along on it.
But why? Why?
Because, honey, it's all wrong. And more I'm becoming aware of my immortal soul and how much it means to me.
Sell me the bottle.
Aren't you concerned with your immortal soul?
Oh, Barry, you know I don't believe in that rubbish about after death. Anyway, I could always sell it to someone else.
Only you wouldn't have the nerve. Oh, no. Oh, no, Leisha, you are the last person I'd ever sell the imp in the bottle to.
Yes?
Val, it's Leisha.
What a wonderful surprise.
I may surprise you even more. Would you like to invite me to dinner?
You and...
I said me.
Consider me surprised even more. Just name the night and where you would like to go.
Where? Your house. When? As soon as possible.
More brandy?
No, thanks.
I think in view of all you have just told me, Leisha, I will. I want you, no matter what your youth. And I can make you happy physically. I have more money than I need. Although never more than I want. I will be happy to make a pre-marriage settlement with you. The one thing is the fly in the ointment, the imp in the bottle.
But that's just a plaything for me. A luck charm. Whether you believe in it or not. And you can get it for less than $5.
Why should he sell it to me, a stranger? Why not to you?
Because he believes whoever buys it sells his soul to the devil.
I don't want to talk about that nonsense anymore. What I will discuss is our marriage settlement, your divorce, and your promise to me of faithfulness and a child. If that is agreed, then I promise you I will buy your whatever it is in the bottle tomorrow. Or the first feasible day. Agreed?
Agreed.
I knew nothing of this conversation, naturally, since Leisha shared little with me these days. Besides, in the first months working with Charlie, I was so fascinated, captivated, drenched in the business of old coins, that I had little else on my mind. It never even occurred to me that Leisha's request for a quick divorce, and my granting it, even though I still loved her, had anything to do with a man I vaguely remembered from our transatlantic crossing and newspaper headlines in general.
And I really must apologize for my long cross-examination. But my hobby, I must admit, is ceremonial magic. The Kabbalah. The Grimoire Verum. I suppose you might say all forms of black magic.
I see.
I envy you your amulet. I don't suppose you would consider selling it.
Oh, wait a minute. If I thought you knew and understood its history.
But believe me, I do.
Uh-huh. Then perhaps you're the one.
Name your price.
What do you tip the beach boy here?
Oh, 50, 75 cents.
You have it in your swim shorts?
Yes.
Then as long as you know what you're getting into, you have a deal. I'll take 50 cents, and the bottle imp is yours. So I thought foolishly that was the end of it. Of the thing in the bottle, at least. Well placed with a man whose beliefs or leanings served him right for whatever happened to him afterwards. Even after our divorce, and Leisha remarried Valentine Stavrasis, I was able to put it out of my mind. He owned the devil's curse, not she. And with all his great self-earned wealth, she should be happy. And then 7 years later, fate took us all in hand again. It was hard not to know of Valentine's massive and probably fatal attack. It was headlines in all the papers.
Nurse, would you leave us alone, please? Val?
Huh?
Val, can you hear me?
What? What?
It's Leisha. Leisha.
Leisha. Thank God. Leisha. Find someone.
Find someone for what?
I can feel it. I'm going to die. But not with the black imp waiting for me in the bottle. I'm afraid. Got to sell. Got to save me.
It's all right, Val. I'll buy it. And promise you to get rid of it. I don't need it anymore. How much... What did you pay for it?
Fifty cents.
Just let me look in my bag. I'll open it and give you less. Whatever change I have. Oh.
Hurry. Hurry before it's too late.
Oh, God, I haven't any change. There's no change. I gave it to the taxi man.
Please. Leisha, help me. I can feel the hot, stinking breath. His wings folding about me. Don't let me die. Die forever in torment.
Oh, thank God. A little miracle. Here, Val, stuck in the corner of my purse, a penny, a cent, all I have.
Oh, no. Now you can wear him about your neck. I'm safe. I'm safe. I can die in
peace.
As Val died, his lungs unable to sustain their pressure even underneath the oxygen tent, Alicia, without thought, lit a cigarette. It was a week before I could see her in the hospital. And even under sedation and in wet bandages, she was in the agonies of hell. She blurted out the story of the bottle imp and thought she was already in hell and dead. Thank God there was something I could do for her. Alicia. Alicia, it's Barry.
No, I'm dead. In hell. A curse came true.
No, not yet, honey. Not yet. You're still alive. You can still sell him.
It's too late. I bought him at the bottom. 1 cent. I'm stuck.
No, don't you believe it. Lucky you happen to know an old, loving numismatist. All right. You don't like the word coin collector. Lots of coins in the world worth less than a cent. A lira, the Cambodian sen, the Japanese yen. Ooh, I could go on forever.
Oh, I can't, Barry. Not after all this agony. I couldn't wish it on anyone but itself. Like him.
You can and you will. To me. For a lira I just happen to have with me.
No. I've made you suffer enough.
It's all over. Don't worry. In my business, I can find a coin cheap enough to pass the imp in the bottle on to someone who really deserves it. And I'll fix it so he can't get rid of it.
Barry. Barry, what? Couldn't I love you enough?
Sell me that imp first. There. Hang on to the coin. It's your passport to whatever there is after for you. Oh, Alicia. Maybe someday I'll meet you. Alicia. Oh. She's gone. Oh, darling. I hope you found peace at last.
Barry's business as a coin collector grew. And paramount among his collection of coins were all the ones of lowest value in the world. Sufficient of them to make change for any larger denomination. Sooner or later, he knew he would meet someone who really deserved the imp in the bottle. And sooner or later, he did. I'll be back shortly.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold.
Yes!
The contact, the sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then, ask yourself the contact question. 6 for 3 or 1. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Time Pills.
Here's your call.
6 or 3 or 1, take contact, only as directed. I understand that a power-hungry dictator bought the imp in a bottle for one of Barry's near worthless coins. Fortunately, he never was able to use the money he amassed to buy the weaponry with which he planned to conquer a continent. He died rather suddenly of an obscure disease, undiagnosed. But it may have occurred to you that the lower the price of the imp, the sooner the owner seemed to depart this life. Our cast included William Redfield, Joan Loring, Ian Martin, Santos Ortega, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
America is sitting on an energy crisis. Now that you've heard everybody's solution, here's mine. Stand up. That's it. Now put your left foot forward. Now your right foot. Now your left again. Your right. Your left. You're getting it. You're walking. Walking is just plain good for you. Builds energy, fills your lungs, strengthens your heart, and shapes your whole body. There's nothing political about it either. You use the right just as much as the left. You'll be surprised how much prettier the world looks when you walk by it at 3 miles an hour. You can hear the birds sing, smell the flowers, or stop and chat with a friend. And you don't need any fancy equipment. Two fairly good legs will do and somebody to point you. So I'm pointing you, America. Stand up for your constitutional rights and walk. Let's hear the pitter-patter of patriotic feet all over America.
From the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Washington, D.C., 20201.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the next item for sale at the Omni auction will be 200 pounds of candy. And instead of 200 pounds of candy, let's go.
The Omni auction. It's the biggest fundraising event in the country. And you can be part of it on Saturday night, November 2nd, at the Memorial Coliseum. Tickets are available at First National Bank of Oregon, U.S. National Bank, Lincoln Savings and Loan, all the usual outlets, or call 248-5918 for more information. The OMSI auction. Be there, and you may come home with 4 tons of Presto logs, 2 nights stay at the Inn of the Seventh Mountain, 10 dog obedience lessons, a 3-minute grocery shopping spree, or maybe 200 pounds of candy.
$200 you in. $175 bid, $200. And ladies and gentlemen, the buyer's waiting candy, going once, going twice, and sold on November 2nd at the OMSI auction, Memorial Coliseum at 6 p.m.
There's a difference between telling a news story and getting a news story. The difference is KOIN. Being on the beat is a major part of getting the news. The reporters at KOIN have a great deal of experience on the beat. Frank Conley, a former news director and now reporter for Radio 97, has some firm ideas about the way to get the news for you. Here's what Frank has to say about getting the news from the people who make it.
I think perhaps 50% or more of our job is to be out there, to keep in contact with those people, to ask them what's going on, to get to know how they operate, how they think, so that when things do happen, we can not only cover them completely and quickly, but cover them with the emphasis that's proper. We can sort out what's important and what's not.
What's important? That's news. And that's the story you'll get from KOIN, News Radio 97.
This is KOIN in Portland, where the time is 12 midnight.
CBS News. There are indications President Ford on Friday may go to Long Beach, California to visit Richard Nixon in the hospital. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president was in Los Angeles Thursday night campaigning on behalf of fellow Republicans in next Tuesday's elections.
The president's aides indicated Mr. Ford may visit the former president, who is still on the critical list at Long Beach Memorial Hospital. Mr. Nixon's doctors, in their latest briefing to reporters, said Mr. Nixon is alert. They said the former president's condition is moving toward stability, but cautioned that potential dangers still exist. Mr. Nixon is still said to be suffering some internal bleeding. President Ford Thursday told the nation's farmers and livestock producers that he will not permit foreign meat imports to cause them financial disaster. The president said he will either negotiate voluntary import restraints on meat or impose import quotas. More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact the sooner the better.
Six or three or one.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give you a cold to contact. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief of those symptoms. You'd need six cold tablets, two every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, one every 4 hours, or just one contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Six or three or one, take contact, only as directed.
The serious illness of Richard Nixon makes it increasingly doubtful that he will appear as a witness in Washington at the Watergate cover-up trial. But defense lawyers still want Mr. Nixon's testimony, and various ideas are being offered on how this can be done. Fred Graham has a report.
John Ehrlichman's lawyers have insisted that Mr. Nixon's testimony is indispensable to Ehrlichman's defense, and several weeks ago they proposed taking his sworn testimony in California on videotape to be shown to the jury here. But Judge John Sirica threw cold water on that, partly because there wouldn't be a judge present to rule on objections. Now that Mr. Nixon's condition has grown worse, new proposals are being floated by lawyers here. One is to move the whole trial, judge, jury, and all, to California for Mr. Nixon's testimony. There are many legal and practical questions about that. Another is to keep the trial here and question Mr. Nixon by closed-circuit television from his bedside. The main drawback to that is the cost of transmission cables, about $50,000 for 3 days. Judge Sirica is considering sending a court-appointed panel of doctors to check Mr. Nixon's health, but with about 3 more months of trial left to go, he may do nothing now and hope Mr. Nixon gets better. Fred Graham, CBS News, at the Federal Courthouse in Washington.
Secretary of State Kissinger continues on the move. Thursday, Kissinger met in Pakistan with Prime Minister Ali Bhutto. Marvin Kalb has a report.
Kissinger and Bhutto met for almost 3 hours before attending a dinner party under a sprawling tent on the lawn of the Prime Minister's residence. Bhutto wanted a new program of American military aid, but he did not get it. There was no mention of arms in the wrap-up communique released tonight. And Bhutto alluded to his failure in an after-dinner toast when he said, "Major decisions do not get made overnight." But if Bhutto struck out on arms, he did well on economic support. Kissinger promised that under the PL-480 program, the United States would now send 100,000 tons of wheat to Pakistan to meet her immediate food needs. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Islamabad.
Later, Kissinger flew to Afghanistan. He'll be there about 5 hours and then go on to Iran. The 2,400-city firemen in Montreal Thursday night called a strike, leaving the city of 2.7 million with only 55 supervisory personnel to fight fires. Now this.
Which would you rather forego? The low prices only a chain store can offer, or the friendly service of an independent dealer? Why settle for one or the other? Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that you get the benefits of both at True Value Hardware Stores. You see, True Value Hardware Stores are independently owned by a local man, usually a neighbor of yours. He's the kind of friendly guy you get to know by his first name, the kind of handy guy you look to for do-it-yourself advice, and he has his own money invested in the business. So believe me, you'll never write the chairman of some board to get satisfaction. At the same time, each independent True Value dealer is a part of a chain of over 4,700 hardware stores whose combined buying power amounts to $1 billion. So True Value Hardware Stores buy their merchandise for less, can sell it to you for less. Chain store prices, independent dealer service. Get the best of both worlds at True Value Hardware Stores.
Researchers at the University of California say that a new drug treatment for diabetics will reduce their danger of blindness, kidney failure, and heart trouble. The medical researchers say they think the new drug will do a better job of regulating blood sugar than insulin. About 5 million Americans suffer from diabetes. It's the fifth leading cause of death in the nation. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Fire investigators in Coquille on the southern Oregon coast are investigating a blaze that took the lives of three children Thursday morning. 10-year-old John Colne and his sisters, 8-year-old Barbara, and 6-year-old Carrie died while sleeping in the attic of a two-story house. The children's stepfather and his wife were hospitalized with burns, while two other children in the house escaped the blaze. Multnomah County commissioners have set up and passed the ordinance, opening the way for bids on a cable TV franchise. Before the ordinance was voted on, Commissioner Padro offered what he called a bit of eloquence, what he thought was significant about the new cable TV law.
This ordinance represents, it seems to me, the basis and the best effort that I have been able to see in many ways of a cooperation between the city and county. And much commendation must go, it seems to me, to Commissioner McCready and to her staff in putting together this ordinance. Secondly, I have listened with great care to the various arguments both for and against, and I can well understand those who have certain kinds of objections with regard to the ordinance. I guess my own view of it would be simply stated that the ordinance is in a sense akin, if not analogous, to the concept of searchlights, which were put out to attempt to be sure that ships did not wreck themselves on the reef. One was never sure that the searchlight necessarily prevented ships from wrecking themselves, but we are sure that in many, many cases they assisted measurably in being sure that these ships themselves were not foundering.
Multnomah County Commissioner Ben Padro. Convicted killer Carl Bowles is recovering from abdominal surgery at the Idaho State Prison in Boise. Bowles underwent surgery Thursday morning because of a gunshot wound he suffered during his capture by authorities last June. Bowles is now serving a 75-year sentence at the Idaho State Prison for kidnapping three persons during attempts to escape officers near Post Falls. An officer at Post Falls wounded Bowles on June 16th, following his escape from the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem.